Good afternoon, everybody. This is Pamela Metz, and I want to welcome you to the Kahlua Luncheon. Can you guys hear me okay? Today, first off, I want to thank you all for attending. We beat out technology. Mm-hmm. And we can tell which part is more important, books or technology. It's a flip. It's a toss-up. Yeah, it's a toss-up. I want to thank Phil for being our host, Zoom host. Is our guest, the other guest on the Zoom, is she there, Phil?
Yes, she sure is.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and introduce, what is her name?
Kokoye Ari.
Okay. I will let Mike introduce her.
Okay.
Because I do not like to butcher people's names. Because people used to call me, my maiden name is Fortier, and I used to get Fortier, all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to introduce Mike. I've met Mike, oh God, it's been a few years, and I've always loved books. They're my best friend, always have been, and I love what he does up north for the library service up north. And I'm going to let him introduce the other speaker for us. But she's representing the Braille Institute in L.A. Lisa couldn't be here, unfortunately. So she's representing Braille Institute in L.A. And we have a wonderful library service across California. We do have some issues like banning books. Oh, but we have a wonderful library service across the state. So I'm going to, Mike, go ahead and take the mic and have fun. And Jamie, you're my runner when we get to questions and answers, right? Thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Mike Marlin, the regional librarian for and director of the Braille and Talking Book Library. And I guess I hope I don't butcher her name either, but Kokoye Ari, and I don't remember her exact title, but she has helped us out with statistics and other important information over the years, and I feel like she is an indispensable representative and member of the Braille Institute Library staff. So Kokoye, if you want to introduce yourself, go for it.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kokoye Ari, and I am the Senior Library Administrator at the Braille Institute Library. I've been at Braille for 20 years, so I've been there for a while, and I've been in the library the entire time, and that's me. Also, I'm a big fan of books, so I'm happy to be here with you guys today.
Great, thanks. Okay, I'm just supposed to talk for about 5 minutes, so somebody stop me if I go over. I think I probably know some of you, maybe all of you in the room, hopefully have talked with you over the years. I've been at the California State Library's Braille and Talking Book Library for 15 years. So not as seasoned as Kokoye, who's been at Braille's, I think she said 20 years. That's wonderful. And we're involved in a whole bunch of different initiatives I was going to just touch on briefly. First, I just want to ask a favor of all of you, and that is to continue to be ambassadors for the NLS regional library system in California. To get the word out, there are, as of the last American Health California version portion of the American Health Survey, there are anywhere from 761,000 to 1.2 million eligible Californians for this library service. We're currently serving about 40,000 statewide, so we have a long way to go. Despite even that, our numbers are all pretty incredible. I think we're serving anywhere up to 10 to 15,000 patrons, if you include Fresno and San Francisco subregional libraries out of their public library systems. Excuse me. And Braille Institute, Kokoye, well, I'm sure can chime in, but I want to say they're serving close to 20,000, maybe more than that. I think when we look at the numbers all together, it's between 35 and 40,000. Again, a few percentage points based on who's eligible for this service, which includes people who are blind, people who are low vision, people with physical disabilities, if they can't hold a book for whatever reason. And then, of course, reading disabilities like dyslexia and dysgraphia and other reading disorders. Please continue to get the word out about us. I don't think I need to go into too much detail about what we do. We circulate books and magazines to Californians with print disabilities all around the state. We do it through Braille hard copy, through the new Braille e-reader. And for all of you people out there, we have about 285 out in the field. I know Braille Institute has a lot more because of their larger population. But we also know that there are close to 995 people signed up for Braille format in Northern California. So a lot of them we're hoping will come out of the woodwork. For whatever reason, they became disenchanted or it was too difficult to use hard copy Braille. But now with the Braille e-reader, hopefully that can change. We also have a cloud-based cartridge distribution system at all four libraries in California, where we no longer have to make sure that a hard copy of a talking book is available, because we can just put it in, insert it in the cartridge tower, use the cloud-based software, and burn anywhere from 1 to 20 or 30, depending on those crazy voracious readers out there. Or if you wanted an entire series on a cartridge, for example. Yeah, see, Pam reads series. I know that. I happen to know that. But anyway, so those are some options. And then, of course, there's the downloadable Braille and audio reading download system, which keeps improving. Was recently upgraded to the 2.0 after only 2007. So what is that? Only 16 years that we finally got from version 1 to version 2. But, you know, the federal government, you know, moves like lightning. Everyone knows that. So anyway, those are some options. And of course, the BARD system is up to about 150,000 titles and growing. And part of that is thanks to the amazing Karen Kenninger in her tenure as the director, first blind director at NLS, in terms of getting commercial contracts. So free donations from audio publishers so that we could add a lot of the commercial audio to the 2000 NLS contracted books through professional narrators, plus an additional 2,000 and maybe 2,000 to 3,000 now through local libraries recordings programs. So we're looking at anywhere from 7,000 to 9,000 audiobook titles. We're still at about 650 Braille titles, but that's all changing with the move to the cloud-based infrastructure, et cetera. I know I'm running out of time, so a few more quick things. I got a minute. Okay. So under the hood developments going on at NLS, the DA2, which is the digital audio player version 2. There's a prototype. It's being tested. It's going to have Wi-Fi. It's going to have Bluetooth. It's going to have cartridge input for people who still use cartridge circulation. Hopefully within the next couple of years, it is being beta tested. Then also the smart speakers, pretty much only through the Amazon Echo system, because Google, there's some contractual issues and some development issues. So right now that's on hold, but I'm hoping that there'll be smart speaker options for listening to NLS content like there is for Bookshare now in the next couple of years. So stay tuned for that. Last thing to mention real quick is if for those of you in Northern California, through our regional library, we have a new assistive technology lending program where we are loaning Victor Streams, I hate to say this, but it's the old outdated version 2 now, next generation, but it still works. And also Humanware Explorer 5 magnifiers. And we're also distributing hotspots, which are not completely accessible, but we have bump dots on them and they do work for people. We've been getting some positive feedback from folks. And so if you or somebody you know who's a library member or a potential library member wants to borrow assistive technology, it's a 1-year loan with the possibility to renew. And this is, we also have two permanent positions that we acquired, assistive tech coordinator and assistive tech librarian. So this program is not going away. It's only going to grow and keep building. And we're looking at new technology and new devices to loan to library members throughout Northern California, but also, and Kokoi can confirm this too, that Braille Institute is also circulating Victor Streams and Ruby magnifiers. So we work together to get this funding for both of our systems in North and in South. So that's another development to let you know about. I could talk about a lot more, but I'm gonna yield back. And do you want me to turn it over to Kokoi? Yeah. So Kokoi, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you very much. Just to continue with what you were just talking about, the Victor Reader, we are loaning those out, and we've loaned out about, we have about 1,000, and we've loaned out about half of those so far, so it's going pretty well. For the Ruby devices, we have a smaller amount of those available, and our OT and low vision department is responsible for handing those out. So they give them out as they see people for appointments, and then they were for those people that it seems like a good fit for them to use, they refer them to us, and we give them the Ruby to use. So that's also been going pretty well. Our e-reader, we've loaned out quite a few. We had like a stock of about 500 to start with, and they're all gone, so we had to order another batch. A few people have returned them, but you know, we're trying to spread the word and get people to get used to it. New technology sometimes is a little difficult, but people seem to be embracing it, and we've been fortunate enough to enlist Steve Bauer's help to volunteer for us. So he's been coming in on Wednesdays, and he's available for people who need help with the e-reader or the Victor Reader. So that's been going well. It just started, and people are happy. We're really happy to have his help. You also mentioned, Mike, about how it's important for us to spread the word and get to people that may not know about our services. So for us, we are in the process of hiring a new outreach manager to help us with that, because it's a big undertaking, and we are short of staff. And so we figured a good position for us to have would be an outreach manager to help us spread the word and expand our reach. Some other things happening in Southern California. April, we celebrate Library Month at Braille Institute. It started with National Library Week, but we expanded it into Library Month. So throughout April, we have little events scheduled and workshops. And we're starting next week on Wednesday. We're going to have an astronomer's workshop. And we have a blind and sighted astronomers participating. And they're going to talk about things like new technology and things that make astronomy more accessible to blind and visually impaired folks. And that's going to be Wednesday at 1 to 2:30. It's going to be on Teams. For some of our workshops, I can post the links or send the links afterwards if anybody's interested, because it's open to anybody who wants to participate. We're also going to have a poetry workshop, and then next week we're going to have Miss Leona Godin come to our library to speak, and she is the author of Their Plant Eyes, A Personal and Cultural History of Blindness. So she'll be in our library, and I believe that's in person. And those are some of the activities we're going to be having during the month of April to celebrate Library Month. Let's see, some other news about our library. Well, this is NLS related. There is a new Spanish language website that they've started for Spanish speaking individuals, and it started in February, and I think it's going pretty well. Telemundo wrote about it on Instagram and Facebook, so they're helping to spread the word that website is available in Spanish. Some other things with NLS, let's see. There's a VA rapid sign program that they've expanded recently to help reach our veteran participants. So that's been going well. they've been training staff at different with different programs to help accelerate the registration of our veterans for library services. That's about it for me. I'm not sure if anybody has any specific questions, but that's what's been going on with the Southern California Library so far.
Yeah, this is Pam Metz, and I have one question. When is the open house? Mm-hmm. I do want to go.
Oh, our open house. I forgot about our open house. Our open house is on Wednesday, April 26th. It's from 10 to 2. Our library has been remodeling for quite some time, so it'll be like our first major event. We're inviting a large number of people back into our space since COVID. So we're going to have one of our patrons serve as a host, and we're going to have poet laureate, the LA poet laureate, Lynn Thompson, will be there. We have an author who's also a patron, and he's a musician, Jeff Moyer. He will be there. And then we have a new kids room that we started, and there's a two artists who painted a mural, and they're also creating a sensory mural on the inside of the room, and they will be there to present their work. And so that's on April 26th, and so we're pretty excited about that.
Okay, this is Mike again. Because I'm jealous of Kokoi talking about incredible events, I wanted to mention a couple quick things too. And we have a children's corner as well with tactile games, and so just so you know. I've neglected to mention that we have some intensive instruction opportunities for the AT program as well. So we have monthly classes for the VRS and the magnifier. We also have videos and audio done by Judy Dixon of NLS fame, and who's been to ACB and CCB stuff many times. And we have outreach opportunities going on as well, including we're going to be hosting the NLS Western Conference. So all the 15 Western states to comprise the Western region of NLS are going to be in Sacramento on April 25th through the 27th. And it's a time for us to show off our library, but also just immerse ourselves in best practices and dialogue about all the different facets of librarianship, including censorship and collection development to combat any attempt at censorship or book banning, as well as recording studio. We have a local recording studio, and we've got, I think if you look at our newest newsletter, which is coming out in the next couple of weeks, we've got the last several batch of several titles that we've added to the collection. And we are always open to your suggestions, so please feel free to contact us and give us your recommendations for California material. We call it Californiana. It's anything that's by California authors or about California, takes place in California, is somehow California theme based, that slips through the cracks of the national collection. So those are just a few things going on, because I became jealous when Kokoya was talking about all these really cool things. And both of us do really cool things. So, and we appreciate everyone's support.
Didn't he get jealous fast? That was quick. Now, Jamie's going to be the runner, and I'm not letting you guys run her ragged. Well, she needs to run off that salad or sandwich she just ate. So, I'm going to let everybody ask either of them a question, but I also have a prize that Lisa's been hoarding and not wanting to give away. Okay. I need to bring her one for herself, because boy, I'm keeping this, but, we'll get to that before we end today. But as a library patron, I have my in-home support person, my aide, my friend Denise, has dyslexia. And I got her hooked on NLS, and the poor child spends so much time downloading books. She says she can listen to them in her car. She can listen to them at home. She doesn't have to strain her eyes to figure out the letters she's looking at. And so I have to thank both libraries for that, because NLS has done a wonderful thing for people who have print disabilities, as well as those of us who are blind and visually impaired. So if you guys have any questions for either librarians, don't get pushy. And I'm giving you, and please believe me, I'm the time master in the room. I'm giving you each a minute, or maybe two.
I have a hand up over here. I'm walking over.
Can you guys introduce yourself before you ask your questions, please?
It's Judy Wilkinson. Hello, both librarians. It is so wonderful to have you with us. Mike, a couple of questions for you. First, I see books all the time on the list from Texas, from Nevada, from Montana, but I never see, you know, a bunch of books like every now and then, like they've loaded the California books. So how do we get the Californiana, and why isn't it listed on our barred lists? That's question one.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because we've been continuously uploading. I think we've uploaded 122 books, and we have about another 100 in the can, which are is a technical expression. What I'm referring to are analog to digital conversion. We're going back and converting a lot of the old analog titles. But I thought that it was pretty plainly evident in either in the annotation, or if you go further into the book, the record of the book, if you're in one of the catalogs on Bard. I'll have to look into that, Judy, because, you know, there are
basically I'm using my stream, but I never see anything listed as from California, and I see it all the time, say from Texas, Montana, Minnesota, like that. The other thing I want to point out to you, there's the bad. The thing I hear most often as, shall we say, a complaint is the difficulty in getting assistance with the e-readers. People don't feel they're getting, frankly, quality support for working with their e-readers. I'm saying this now as the president of the library users.
Sure. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
I was not aware that. I know that sometimes except for me, all of our staff are sighted, and so and this is true for most of the network. So they are doing, from what my understanding, doing as best they can, given the constraints that they have of not being native Braille readers. But they do have manuals available, and they do have
troubleshooting. But I'm just going to say to you, best they can is not good enough, Mike.
Yes, understood.
It's not good enough. Okay, and finally.
Let me just say one more thing.
Oh, sure.
So we have the ability to bring in Liz from the Talking Books and Braille Center in San Francisco, who's been doing a lot of tech support. She's a blind Braille reader and blind user, as well as a staff member. Duly noted, and thank you for that question.
Well, and finally,
I appreciate it.
I so love my Braille on demand, I know that's not literally part of this library, but just as a positive for the whole library service, my bookshelves are just now crammed. Thank you.
I'm really sorry about that. No, I'm actually very pleased.
Thank you.
That is something I wish I'd mentioned. There is Braille on demand. Patrons can get up to 5 hard copies of Braille per month. Now, part of this is due to space savings and production savings with the e-reader advent. So, yay NLS for putting that forward.
All right. Any other ones? Coming right over here. I'll get Zoom after this question.
Steve Mendelson, again, I want to echo Judy. Thank you both for being here very much. I can attest to what Judy just said about Braille on demand. Our house is so full with Braille books that we have to move out of the street. But I had a question which is topical. It may be premature, but I wonder if either of you have had a chance to give any thought to or had any feedback from others in the library community about the impacts, if any, that recent developments in AI will have upon our service.
Steve, this is Mike. Are you referring to like the GP chat, yeah, exactly, that sort of thing?
Or? Yes, exactly.
Because we are already using API connectivity between systems, which is how Bard works with all these third-party devices, such as the Victor Stream, Milestone, the Kindle Fire. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what it is that you're looking for or you're curious about when it comes to AI?
Well, I'm curious, for example, I'm guessing that it may result in an increase in the available quantity of books and maybe in the time frames in which they're available. That'd be my guess. I'm worried about what it's going to do to the excellent narrators that we have in the NLS system in terms of their work opportunities. And I'm curious to know about the quality of using the newest forms of AI in terms of the actual finished product.
Sure. Well, NLS is committed to human narration. They always have been, and as far as I know, they always will be. It's part of their ethos. It's part of their budget. Even Bookshare is going partially, at least with the British title so far. I hesitate to say, don't worry, everything's going to be fine, because you know what happens, change happens, right? But at least for now, the plan is to continue forward with the audiobook explosion is still very much a positive and popular phenomenon. And, the publishers get a lot of good PR from giving books for the blind to NLS. So I don't see that changing either. And like I said earlier, we've been able to go from what used to be 2,000 talking book titles to about 9,000 a year. I know it's still 2-3% of what's published every year, but it's better than 1%, which is what, World Blind Union always calls the book famine, which is aptly ascribed to that. It's not exactly AI, but text to speech, certainly, which keeps improving, which is, synthetic voice and is more and more these days computer generated, is very much being planned for the next, the talking book machine. So, and NLS has talked about this for a while, that there are a lot of nonfiction, either scholarly, not even so much scholarly, but government publications and other scientific publications that may not necessarily be done justice through human narration. So I know that NLS is planning to have a TTS feature in the next talking book machine, and that will open things up to more AI generation, I think. Taking the place of the human-centered aspect of Library of Congress National Library Service, I don't see that happening, but I'm going to take your question seriously and talk to the director of NLS in a couple of weeks when we have our conference. Thanks for that great question.
Thank you for the answer.
Okay, do we have any hands up in Zoom room, please?
No hands at the moment.
No hands in Zoom room. Okay, I'm moving on to the next inside.
Hello, this is Lisa Krishman. I have a possible solution about the e-reader tech support issues. If there's some vacancies, it is very hard for sighted folks to provide technical support to blind folks with technology. It's just our worlds are so different with technology. What about maybe, outreaching on some place where blind folks congregate to try to fill some of those vacancies? And maybe, specifically, there's a lot of very technically proficient blind people. What about, trying to, recruit some folks like that to fill some of those positions and provide some of that technical support?
I've been doing all the talking, Kokoi. Do you want to chime in?
At Braille, we have a service call, we call a connection point, which is where we do some tech training. So it's outside of the library. So we do have most of the staff in our connection point areas are blind or visually impaired. And so they do a lot of training in our headquarters in LA. One of the main people who would be helping with our e-reader, she had she broke her finger actually, so she's been out of commission. So we've been enlisting the help of Steve, as I mentioned earlier, and then we've some of our staff, other blind staff who work in other departments, they've been helping people, students that come in and ask for help. So it's been a little tough, but we've been making efforts as best we can to reach out to people to help us on a volunteer basis with training with the e-reader. That's what we've been doing for now.
And I'll just say in Northern California, I'm not going to get into the whole civil service hiring thing, but I'm happy to talk with you offline on that, Lisa. But as far as volunteers go, yes, we are about to restart our volunteer engagement program. It's been dormant first because of the pandemic and then because of the library administration wanting to revise the volunteer policies. And so we've been sitting around twiddling our thumbs, anxiously awaiting that. And once we do that, certainly for volunteer tech support people, we would love to open that up for volunteers. It's not the same as getting paid, which I wholeheartedly endorse. And you know what, we'd like to employ lots of blind people at the library, but again, different story. So that's kind of where we're looking at. And then we'll see where it goes from there. But that's something that I will broadcast to all of you, because I bet you have people out there who would like to help out. We've had tech support volunteers in the past. And it's a wonderful service for us. Sorry, yeah. That's not the greatest answer, but that's what I've got right now.
Yeah. This is Jamie. I just wanted to make a comment with the Department of Rehab and the adult work experiences that we have collaborated with. There's the adult work experience that would be interested in that, because that's a way for your volunteers, if they're with the Department of Rehab, to get paid to be right. Those liaisons and trainings for technology with Braille.
Excellent. Thank you, Jenny. Yes. In fact, I was getting ready to reach out to DOR, because we just finally, the California State Library got our internship and student policies up to date. So we're now starting to look at whether they're internships, or in the case of the program you're speaking of, that would be fabulous. And we actually have done that in the past with some of the other smaller rehab agencies in the greater SAC area. We've had people come in and work for 12 to 16 weeks and get paid by their agency. So excellent. Thank you so much.
That's correct. Okay, I have another hand up right here for you.
Shana, Ray. As far as text-to-speech on a player would go, how would that work? Would that be like a toggle? You press this to get human speech or this to get text-to-speech? Is that in the works, or is that just a thought in the moment, or what?
No, actually, that is already built in to the next generation. So it has text-to-speech. If you know now with the talking book machine, it's generated by pressing buttons. So when you don't have a book inserted, you can hear what each button does. But this, the new model, I've heard it. I haven't actually put my hands on it yet, but it does actually talk to you, and it's kind of like these third-party devices. It describes everything that's going on. So it already has the built-in synthetic voice. So therefore, if you have files that are specific file types, it should be able to read them just fine. I think NLS has to work out some of the copyright issues, and that's why right now we're looking at things that are more out of copyright compliance, such as government documents, instruction pamphlets, things like that. Those are the kinds of text-to-speech without having to worry about copyright for now that they're considering.
Okay, great. Do we have anybody's hands up in Zoom at this time?
Still no hands in Zoom.
No hands in Zoom. All right. I'm going to go to the next in-person hand up.
Hello, Mike. Frank Welty here. And I have a question to ask you later offline. But as you know, California Library Users of America has a long tradition of being there to advocate for the libraries for the blind when their funding is in being challenged. Can you give us a little background on the extent to which the libraries need state funding in order to pull down federal matching funds for NLS? And also, does NLS require any kind of fees from the state libraries for the services that they provide, like license fees or something that maybe you have to pay in order to be part of the NLS program? If you could elaborate on that so that we're aware of what your funding challenges are that we need to be able to tell our legislatures to support.
Sure. Thank you, Frank. Well, oddly enough, we're actually doing quite well funding-wise these days. I think part of it is that the boom that California has seen over the last couple of years, due in part to the pandemic, but also to our state librarian, Greg Lucas, who has been here since 2014 and has a lot of great connections. And through his work, along with Braille Institute, past president, has done a lot to get, you may remember, $500,000 funding to Braille Institute that they were able to procure a few years ago. We got funding for these assistive tech loans, as well as a couple of new staffing positions. So what I think you're referring to is a number of years ago, there was a question about maintenance of effort, which is the part on the behalf of states when it comes to the Library Service Technology Act, the LSTA grants. This is, I believe, when I think Arnold was governor, might've been in early Jerry Brown as well. That was something that we weren't sure about, and that the federal government was saying that we may be in violation of the maintenance of effort, which could jeopardize funds. As it turned out, it was a clerical error. Not to minimize things, but it was on the part of the state government and the state library staff. They were able to retool the books so that it did turn out that we were meeting the maintenance of effort, just barely. And so we were able to escape that possibility. Now, there was also the sequestration that came right after that when President Obama came in, and the Congress sequestered a bunch of funds. That had an effect on our state library LSTA funds as well. But that has since resolved itself, that the sequestration ended after two or three years. Normal funding streams resumed. And I have to mention here real quickly that the American Library Association, which has gone to bat on behalf of the blind fund for funding for the blind, as well as for Native tribal libraries around the country, has done an amazing job through Dear Appropriator letter campaigns, et cetera, to get LSTA funding increased. And it's gone up significantly from, I think it was $265 million. It's close to $400 million now. That benefits many NLS regional libraries, not just ours, around the country, who rely on a good portion of their funds to keep the lights on. So. That's a little bit of a long-winded answer, but that's the answer I've got for that question. What was your other question? I'm sorry. It had to do with... Oh, okay, your other question. Okay, great.
Okay, anybody on Zoom? Hands up?
Still no hands.
All right, I'll give it to the next person here in person.
Oh.
Yes. Phil, before we get to the next question, how many people do we actually have on Zoom?
9 connections.
Oh, 9 connections. Not bad. And we have a full room. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
This is Joni Patchy, and I love my e-reader, but I can't help but wonder, what are we going to use those 2 extra buttons on the right-hand side for?
That's a great question.
Upgrades and expansions in the future.
Yes. There's the answer. Tamara Rory is going to be in Sacramento in a couple weeks for our convention. So I'm going to, even though I've asked her before and her answer is they're not being used for it right now. It's like, come on, Tamara, what's the future say about that? So I will ask her again. Also, really quick, Frank's question about whether or not we have to pay anything unless. No. It is a partnership. The only thing the libraries have to pay is the in-kind contribution of their staffing that's provided through their governance agencies, whether it be the state or a commissioner for the blind, et cetera, or Secretary of State's office.
Okay, great. We have another hand up right here.
Hi, it's Stu Bauer. And just a quick comment before I ask a question. The e-reader is actually a Humanware device that they sell, and then NLS wrote their own software. Is my understanding those 2 buttons, which are volume up and volume down on the Humanware device, will never be used on the actual e-reader, so you can not worry about those. My question is, Mike, really exciting about the new Talkbook player coming out. The e-reader provides patrons with access to other content besides Bard, Bookshare specifically, and NFB Newsline, and even the ability to put files into the e-reader and read them in Braille. Will the new Talkbook player have any similar features that you'll be able to import material from other services besides Bard?
This is Mike again. My understanding is no, because of the copyright issues. The players, like the Talking Book machine now, has built-in decryption, so that the encryption software that's on all books and magazines ensures that only eligible patrons of this service can use it. And this is dictated by the government and by the Library of Congress and the legislative branch. Braille is, by in and of itself, a specialized format, so there's not so much a concern that people are going, that hundreds of thousands of sighted people are going to learn Braille and start reading and start. We see Talking Book machines on eBay. I've never seen a Braille e-reader there. So maybe that tells you something. Not yet.
Okay, thank you. Do we have anybody on Zoom yet? Come on, Zoom.
Yes, we just got a raised hand.
Lori, all right. Woo-hoo! He's engaged.
Go ahead.
Hi, I think that's me. This is Lori, and I'm curious, when the Marrakesh Treaty passed several years ago, there was a lot of discussion about more books becoming available. And I wonder, I've seen, whether on Bookshare or NLS Bard, I'm not sure, but a book will say a Marrakesh Treaty. So my question is what I asked. Has the Marrakesh Treaty had much impact on the availability of books through to NLS?
McCoy, feel free to jump in anytime, because I feel like I'm hogging the microphone. So, but I mean, I'm happy to answer that.
You can go ahead.
Okay. So there are several thousand books. So the NLS has a foreign language librarian, Kelsey Rivera, who has been diligently doing the research, downloading books off of the Global Book Service, which is part of the Accessible Books Consortium, ABC, putting them into Bard as DBGs, you know, Digital Book Global. There are thousands at this point She's getting popular titles in various 70 different languages at this point. If you see, they are all going on BARD. So you should be seeing foreign language titles coming through. They may not say Marrakesh in the annotation or in the book title, but they are, if you go further into the record, it will say how it was acquired through Marrakesh. The California State Library too is a member of the Accessible Books Consortium. Before NLS was able to do it, we started working with them directly. So we have the ability to download books in addition to what NLS can do. They're better at it because they can put them on BARD, and all we can do is take the unprotected files and throw them on a cartridge for people, which we've been doing. Our biggest problem is the whole discovery apparatus, and that is many, you know, our most popular languages besides Spanish are Russian, Tagalog, Italian, and French, Mandarin Chinese. None of which I speak or any of my staff speak. And so for us, we can try to cobble things together and use Google Translate when we're looking at the ABC catalog. But really, without patron input, it's very hard to know what to acquire. But that is something that we're working on with our outreach librarians, to come up with a methodology for being able to share out more foreign language titles. But for now, NLS, I think, is doing a bang-up job getting a lot of titles onto BARD. So check it out. And if you need more information on how to search, just contact me offline.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Pam, it is 12:52. How much time should we have?
We will take one more question. So the one that's been holding that arm up with the elbow and everything else.
Who's that? Over here? All right. Oh, God. She's the first to speak and the last to speak.
This is Judy, and I just have to say that Lua this summer at our ACB convention is two of our sessions. Are going to have two sessions on AI, one hopefully with all the big boys, as Brian Charlson calls them, Microsoft, Google, NLS, a couple of others, to find out where they are with AI, but another session to help our members hear some of the new voices, hear what they can do, how they work, what they sound like. So a kind of a hands-on experience of what some of this new AI technology sounds like. So do register with ACB and come to the Lua sessions. And then there's two others, of course, one with the narrator and one with the NLS assistant director, Jason Yasner. So thank you. And I guess that's not a question, but I had to say it.
Okay. I want to thank you. First off, I want to thank everybody in this room for attending, everybody on Zoom for attending, and Jamie for running the mic. And Mike.
Raffle, right?
Yeah, I ain't forgot. Okay, we have Steve for running the board. I'm getting there. I didn't. And you want to forget on purpose.
Boo for those people who already walked out. Oh, well.
And Steve for running the board, and Mike and one of Ms. Kokoi for attending today. I really appreciate it. Now, Lisa, be nice and raffle off, and everybody clap and give everybody a big hand for attending, and I really appreciate it. Because if you love books as much as I do, now, there is one question that goes along with this raffle. You have to know who my favorite author is. And if you don't know, I might tell you. But you can't tell because you know already. You might know. Think hard, you guys. Probably not. What's the question? Who is Pam's favorite author?
J.D. Robb.
Well, close. Close. Well, you got okay. It close.
Get to the other side of the room.
We need to split.
It's Catherine Coulter?
Oh, not quite. But she is one. She is on the list. This is going to be
okay.
Fun.
How about Nora Roberts?
Got it in one. Nora Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, you should have. Nora Roberts, to me, is one of the most prolific writers out there, especially when it comes to romance. I just read the Cousins O'Guire series, and the way she blended that series together was awesome. And I've pretty much read everything she's written, including the J.D. Robb series, all 56 books.
Oh, my God.
Not 55. I haven't read 56 yet because I have to wait for 57. So who won the Leslie Tom, you won a new wax warmer.
Leslie Tom.
And wax to go with that. Did she get the one with the my vendors or the one with the other one? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
Scentsy.
Scentsy is one of my favorite vendors. I buy a lot of Scentsy wax. If Ken was alive, he would have to get a job because I do buy a lot of wax. It's a good hobby. Keeps me spending, giving one out on doing the bad stuff. But again, I want to thank everybody for attending. Phil, thank you for streaming for us and hosting. You're an awesome host, as well as an awesome treasurer. Lisa, thank you for attending as my secretary. Judy, as my second boss. Between her and Bob, please. Okay. Between Judy and Bob, I don't know who's trying to... Oh, God. But we do fine. We do fine. So I want to thank everybody for attending. We're getting ready for what? General session? So thank you guys for attending.